Praise God. Are you excited to be here this evening? How many people enjoyed Pastor Wale's ministration? Was he awesome? Let's give him a big hand. That was awesome. Praise God. You may please just take your seat. I'm very happy to be here. It's such a privilege and an honor to stand before you and to stand on this podium. Reverend Sam and Pastor Nike, they have been my mentors for close to 10 years now. So I want to remind you that you are under great leadership. Please help me appreciate Reverend Sam and Pastor Nike. Please help me appreciate them. You can do better, come on. You can do better, come on. Praise God. I also want to appreciate the entire leadership of the Singles, ladies and gentlemen, the Singles Forum, and Pastor Bolu and all the other pastors that are my friends here. It's such an honor to share fellowship with you. Praise God. I came here today with my girlfriend. I'm one of the few pastors that can tell you publicly that I have a girlfriend. I have a girlfriend. We have been living together now for some years. Praise God. She's no other but my beautiful wife, Pastor Mildred. Let me appreciate her. Come on, put your hands together. Praise God. Amen. And I came with some other of my associates. We're happy to have all of you. Let me quickly tell you something. The stage where you are now is a very delicate stage. You still have a choice. Praise the Lord. You see, as a pastor, I stand between single people and married people. So every time I talk to single people that are telling me, I can't wait, I want to marry. And I'm also talking to married people that are saying, hey, I wish I waited. Sometimes I feel like linking them up, let them cancel each other. Praise God. But I'm sure you will not make a mistake. You will have the marriage of your dreams. In the name of Jesus. The theme of this meeting is catalyst. And I began to check out what the word catalyst actually means. And it means something that can aid or quicken change. Praise the Lord. So if you actually look at it, then marriage is actually like a catalyst. Marriage is the thing, something that can actually create change inside of you. There are three things that can change your life absolutely, that can change your life beyond recognition. The first one is when you meet Jesus Christ. When you become born again, your life will change. I don't know about you, but before I became born again, I was a bad boy. Oh, you can't believe it. Before I met Jesus Christ, I was an Indian hemp smoking, pistol carrying, womanizing, robbing. I was into everything you could hear. I had a pistol from secondary school, not university. The issue wasn't whether we would join cult university. The issue was the one we would join. It was never an issue. I was that bad. I was never going to school to study. I was going there for activities, extra curricular. Yeah. I was not going for academics. But I met Jesus Christ, and my life has never remained the same. Hallelujah. So meeting Christ is one of the first things that can change your life absolutely. The second thing that can transform your life is when you discover your purpose. The moment you find out why you are here on earth, it changes everything about you. Then the third thing that has the power to transform you is who you marry. Praise God. Who you marry. So that's why today we'll be looking at the topic, who should I marry? There are 10 basic qualities I want you to tell you about, but I'll only be able to mention 5. Then you probably have to just maybe get my materials or whatever to get the remaining as God leads us. Praise God. As I began to study from God's word, let's open the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Something very interesting here happened. The Bible said there was a guy called Adam that was created, and he landed on the earth, and he started work. Genesis chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. That should be easy to find. I'm going to start reading from verse 18. He says, and the Lord God said, who said? I can't hear you. Who said? The Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. So that we make him and help meet for him. It was God that said. And verse 19, and out of the ground, who formed? The Lord God did what? Formed. It was God that formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he said he brought him to Adam. Verse 20 says, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. He said, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto what? The man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of what? Man. And this was the first marriage. I discovered that, you know, a lot of times we believe that it is maybe government that would change the world. And yes, government has their part to play. Sometimes we believe that maybe it's even war. Like most African countries are into war, that war, fighting wars will change the world. Some other people believe that maybe it's even the church. But is it not interesting that after God made Adam and gave him a job, the next thing he made him was a husband and a father? For this world to be a better place, we must concentrate on the families. If God thought it was government that would change the world, he would have made Adam a governor. If he thought it was war that would have changed the world, he would have made Adam a general. If he thought it was education that would have changed the world, he would have made Adam a professor. All these things have their part. And you see, I'm a pastor, so I love my job. So I actually thought maybe it's the church that would change the world. And God said, no. He would have made Adam a bishop. He made Adam a father. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that one of the qualities or the criteria to be a good pastor is to be a good father or a good husband. I actually thought it should be the other way around, that if you're a good pastor, then you'll be good at home. No, God said be good at home first, then you'll be good in church. Praise the Lord. So who you marry will affect the rest of your life. God says, why did he bring two together in Malachi chapter 2? He said he brought them together so that he can get a godly seed. God has stake in every marriage. He wants godly children to be raised. That is his own picture, and that is his own idea of how the world can be a better place. One day I was driving. Now, we're talking about who should I marry. I'll give you 10 things. One day I was driving with my wife on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, and we drove out of our street, and we entered the major road, and we saw a car. It was a brand new car. We saw it swerving like, you know, James Bond movie. It was swerving. So we thought maybe it was all these young guys just playing rough. Then when we looked where, we saw a husband and a wife in a moving vehicle. They were swerving. They were fighting. Two of them were on the steering, on the driver's seat. They were fighting. Now, it wasn't a joke. You know, it wasn't funny at all. Right there in the middle of the road, the car was swerving. They were moving. They were in motion. And they were nodding themselves and punching themselves on the driver's seat. And when we followed them and parked near them, we saw that there was actually a baby in that car. You see, that baby did not choose his parents. But the parents were doing things that could endanger the baby's life. Amongst all the relatives we have, we don't have so many we choose. You don't choose your parents. You don't choose your children. You don't choose your siblings. The only one God gave you a right to choose is who you marry. So you better make that decision right. Hallelujah. Who should I marry? The first thing you must look out for is that the person must be in Christ. Who should I marry? You must marry a Christian. If you're a born-again child of God, it's very important that you marry another child of God. You see, some people say, but what if he's nice? What if he's a good guy? What if he's moral? The issue is not about morality. The issue is not about niceness. The issue is about the nature being changed. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said we were by nature the children of wrath. When you become born again, it's not even just your actions that God will change. The first thing he has changed is your nature. When you see someone that is born again and saved, he doesn't just want them to stop committing sin. He doesn't want to commit sin. His nature has changed. And even when he commits sin by mistake, he will feel bad inside because he doesn't want to live like that. But that's very different from the guy that is not saved. Sin is his nature. Sin is not just an action, it's a nature. And they say God has changed our nature. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. So the person must be in Christ. Apostle Paul said that you cannot be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't marry someone that you will now force to go to church. Someone you will force to love the things of God. The person must be in Christ. He must be a Christian. Second thing I want to encourage you about. In choosing a spouse, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 31. Let's look at it, everyone. Second thing to look out for. Proverbs 31. Are you there? Okay, I'm going to read verse 30. Proverbs 31, verse 30. If I dare say amen. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is what? Vain. It said, but a woman that what? Fears the Lord, she shall be what? Praised. Second thing you must look out for when you want to choose a spouse is that the person must have character. There must be character. What is the person's behavior like? I know most young people, when they want to choose a spouse, they look at the outward. I was somewhere where they were interviewing someone. They asked the person, which kind of men do you like? It was a lady. So which kind of men do you like? She said, I like men that are fair and tall. I was heartbroken. Why? Because I know arm robbers that are fair and tall. I know hired assassins that are fair and tall. So fair and tall can't be the first things you will mention. It can't be the first things you will mention. Someone called me one time, said, Pastor, my relationship just got broken. I said, okay, sorry. I said, is there any other person interested in you? She said, yes, there's one other person, but I don't like him. I said, why? Say, he's too short. I said, the one that broke your heart, is he not tall? You see, because those things, people want to build their marriages on those things, and they cannot hold a marriage together. Looks are not enough. Now, of course, you marry someone you like, but looks are not enough. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Don't just look at someone that is beautiful or handsome. What is their character like? The Bible says, a faithful man who can find, not a handsome man. The Bible says, a virtuous woman who can find, not a beautiful woman. Nigeria is filled with beautiful women. The one we are looking for is virtuous women. Nigeria is filled with handsome men or rich men. The ones we are looking for are faithful men. That's the one that can be hard to find. There's not beautiful women everywhere. Hallelujah. Check out for character. It's not everyone that is in church that is eligible to marry. A church is a hospital. Praise God. We have all kinds of people in church. So don't just say because he attends a church, he's a Christian. No. Because you sleep in a garage doesn't make you a car. Praise the Lord. So just because the guy attends a church doesn't mean he's a Christian. You must check for the Christ-like character in him. Does he have character? There are all kinds of people in church. There are all kinds of people in church. I have one son. He has a sickness I call 3 months sickness. That means he dates girls for 3 months, then he drops them. Now, he comes to church. So if you come to my church and see him there, you think he's a Christian. No, you better ask about him. It's not everybody in church that has character. Some of them are still growing in the things of God. Praise the Lord. Check their character. The person that is lying for you today will lie to you tomorrow. He's threatening to beat you today. He will beat you tomorrow. Is there self-control? The guy pressuring you for sex is an adulterer in the making. It's not about you. He lacks self-control. You know, girls sometimes have a way they think that, you know, Pastor, he just likes me. When he sees me, he can't control himself. Sweetheart, it's not about you. He can't control himself. It's not about you. When he sees the house help, he won't control himself. When he sees your sister, he won't control himself. It's about self-control, not about love. Is he impatient today? Say, Pastor, we can't wait. We want to marry. You see, I've learned from my experience. Whenever I see people that can't wait, especially when I tell them, let's do counseling, do you say, Pastor, we can't wait. Let's marry in 2 months. We can't wait. It's not love. That person is impatient. And usually those people that can't wait before they marry, when they marry, they still can't wait. They will come out again. It's a lack of patience. It's not love. So I've seen people like that that have pressurized. Say, Pastor, let's marry us 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. And maybe we disagree. We say, do counseling. They run away to another church to marry. And some most times in less than a year, they come back again. They are broken up. Marriage. Say, why? We couldn't wait. They couldn't be patient. I discovered that everything that God will ask you to do in marriage is the same thing He has already asked you to do as a single person. Start living your life the God way now. Don't wait till you get married. Marriage does not change anyone. So if God has asked you to start forgive people now, forgive them now. I have an incredible marriage. And most of the time when I tell people that we don't quarrel in my house, we don't fight, they find it hard to believe. And I say, the things that if I can forgive, if I've been practicing forgiveness as the Bible teaches to the person I don't know on the street, why will it be difficult to forgive my wife that I love? If I've been practicing how to speak a kind word to someone that I don't know on the road, then why will it be difficult for me to speak a kind word to the wife I live with? I remember that brother in church one time that was having a problem with his wife, so the pastor came to counsel them. So the pastor came and said, "Brother, why are you not talking to your wife? What's happening?" He said, "Pastor, in fact, we are not talking. She's my enemy." Because the pastor was telling him, the Bible says, "Brother, love your wife." He said, "She's not my wife. She's my enemy." The pastor told him, "The Bible says, love your enemy." Say, but she doesn't even stay in the same room with me. She stays in the next room. We don't see ourselves. He says in the next room, the pastor said, love your neighbor. So there's nowhere you want to pass. You just have to act on the word of God. Praise the Lord. So check for character. The lady that is fighting her boss, that is fighting her elder brother, that is fighting her father, that is fighting her pastor, there's nothing wrong with all those people. She hates authority. She will fight you. It's just that simple. Watch out for the character. Number three. Is there compatibility? Check for compatibility. This is very interesting. Amos chapter 3 verse 3, the Bible says two cannot work together except what? They be agreed. You see, if you can settle the issue of compatibility, some things will flow easily. Compatibility here doesn't mean similarity. It just means the ability for two people or two things to get along. They don't have to be similar, they just have to get along. So I don't mean that two of you must love talking, no. One person can like to talk while another person likes to listen. Two of you are compatible. If two of you like to talk too much, there can be a problem. Because nobody will listen. Praise God. So compatibility simply means the ability to get along. That means we have certain strengths or things that complement each other. Praise the Lord. That means for you, just like your pen or what we call biro here in Nigeria, the biro has a cover. If you notice, the biro and the biro cover, they are very compatible. If you are not using it, the cover can cover the writing side. When you are using it, you can put it on the top and it's still fitting right. Am I correct? They are compatible. They are not similar, but they are compatible. They can get along. So before you marry, please ask yourself, are we compatible? That means check some basic issues. Maybe like your values. Do we believe the same things about life? In my own house, God is first. Everybody knows that. God comes first in everything we do. So do we share similar values? In fact, it's not even every Christian you can marry. It's not every Pentecostal Christian you can marry. There are some churches where women don't wear earrings. And I've seen churches where men wear earrings. And they are both shouting hallelujah. So if you're a woman and you're in a church where they don't wear earrings, and you want to marry a Christian that's in a church where they wear earrings, which church will you wed? You are both Christians, but there's a lot of things that are not balanced. So check your basic values. Then also check your purpose for life. Are we compatible? When you have discovered who you are, I normally tell people, discover your purpose for life before you choose a partner for life. Where are you going? Then that's what determines who is going with you. So there must be compatibility in terms of purpose. For instance, it's not everybody that should marry a pastor. It's not everybody that should marry a businessman. One sister called me one time and said, "Pastor, I want to break my relationship." I said, "What happened?" He said, "My fiancé, they seized his container and they've not released this all these months. We have been praying. It's not coming out." She has no business marrying a businessman. She should go and marry a banker or something. Somebody that has more guaranteed income. If you're going to marry a businessman, you must know how to pray. Because businessmen live by faith. Praise the Lord. It's simple. So, is there anybody that can marry a pastor? For instance, I'm a pastor. This kind of a program that was organized, I know that money was spent, millions were spent. Now, and a businessman will say, "Now take the offering, let's see how much." And he will compare how much was spent with the offering, that would balance sheet, and check whether it's a profitable business. But a pastor will look at the souls that have been blessed, where people saved, where people encouraged in the Lord. That's what a pastor sees as profit. But a businessman sees money as profit. So it's not everybody that can marry a pastor. Let me give you an exam I give everywhere I preach. I usually give this test to people. Help me answer it. You're a sister in the house. Let's say your sister is Sister Jane. Your name is Sister Jane. and your vision is to have an international choir, you want to be singing, Louis Pastor Wale sang now, you want to be singing in major events, World Cup and all those events, you want to be singing there. Yes, now you can sing a World Cup. So that's your vision. And you are in the choir, of course, and you want to marry. Two brothers in church are trying to marry you. They are both Michael. Brother Michael, Brother Michael. Which one will you marry? In fact, they're not even brother, they are bro. You know bro, seniors, brother? When you first come born again, you are brother. When you grow, you are bro. After bro, you are a pastor. So two want to marry you, bro, Mike, bro, Mike. Which one will you marry? Okay, let me give you a better example. Remember, your vision is to sing. The first one is Brother Michael Tyson. The other one is Brother Michael Jackson. Which one will you marry? You didn't even pray about it. Why? Because just imagine you marry, you want to sing, and you marry Michael Jackson. His name alone being with your name, Jane Jackson, you will sell. Your album will sell. Then he can come to the studio and help you arrange the songs. Then he can help you shoot your video. Then he will just feature in your album. He will even single. He will just do, oh! They will just write, featuring Michael Jackson. Your album will sell. Praise God. So, you see, marrying that kind of person, he will understand your career. He will add impact to it. But let's imagine that your vision is to remove area boys from Oshodi. Who will you marry, Michael Jackson or Michael Tyson? Mike Tyson. They say, Yahweh Tyson here. They will fear you. Praise the Lord. Now, imagine if you carry Michael Jackson to the bus stop. They will just slap him. He will say, ow! Then they will say, you're bad, you're bad. You know it, you're bad. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. So your purpose for life determines who you marry. Compatibility is important. Praise the Lord. There are many people that have gotten married and their visions and their dreams were destroyed. So make sure you marry someone that can accommodate your vision. Someone that can appreciate what you are called to do. There must be compatibility. You must have the ability to get along. Number what? Number four. Another thing you should look out for is companionship. Marry your friend. That's companionship. Marry your friend. Many people make the mistake of saying, you know, sister, why can't you marry that brother? I say, we are too close. He's my friend. Is he your enemy you want to marry? Marry your friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18:24 also says that, what does it say? Proverbs 18:24. It said there's a friend that is closer than a relative or a brother. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes also says that how can one be warm alone? So what are they saying is that one of the main things you would do in marriage is companionship. It is friendship. Many people wonder what married people do. They talk. If there are 24 hours in a day, yes, you are married, so you want to make love. If you try very well, you do 1 hour. How many hours are left? 23. Then both of you are spiritual. You pray for 1 hour. How many hours are left? What will you be doing for 22 hours? It's talk. So many people do marriage as if it's government work. As if it's a duty. They just marry, just to, it's marriage. You, your wife. Me, I'm husband. I bring money, you give birth, you train children. No relationship. Marry your friend. Praise the Lord. The main thing I miss when my wife is not with me is the companionship, is the friendship. Don't say somebody is too close. No, it's that close person that understands you that you need to marry. Don't try to make your wife your friend. Instead, out of your friends, choose a wife. Many people tell me, Pastor, there's so much pretense in the body of Christ. People pretend too much. It's because most times when people meet, they're already under pressure. Say, my name is John. I'm planning to marry in December. What of you? So, of course, what will happen? They will begin to pretend. So I've seen too many cases where they are both deceiving themselves because they are trying to meet the date of December. But you see, when you meet someone on the level of friendship, you are not trying to fake it. You are not trying to pretend to be something that you are not. You are trying to be yourself. People tend to be more real when there's no pressure. He's just my friend. That's why you notice some people when, you know, most when they first meet for the first time, you see the girl, hi. This is not his voice, but you change it. Hi. My name is John. And the girl say, hi, my name is Tina. That's not her real name. They gave her one deep name, but she changed it. Because when she came to Lagos, she had to change it. Tina. So the guy asks her, what can I get for you? Do you want a drink or something? She said, no, just give me water. I just want water. They will be pretending a few months down the line, that same girl will drink garri in your house. Say, there's no sugar. I said, doesn't matter, bring it like that. It's better to be real from beginning. Let the person know who you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. The first time I went on a date with my wife, I was not thinking about marrying her. She was not thinking about marrying me. We were just friends. We were just going out. Let's go and hang out. It was Christmas period. Let's just go out. No strings attached. And when we went to a fast food joint, we bought takeaway, and they mistakenly gave us one set of cutlery. So when we got to the beach where we were with other people, you know, we had to now share the, you know, some men would say, no, since there's one spoon, only you eat. For where? You eat two spoons? I eat two spoons. Count it. Praise God. I was real. Praise the Lord. So there's so much pretense because people are under pressure. Marry your friend. The real thing you would do in marriage is the companionship, is the friendship. That is what we last and last. After the romance is gone, after the sex is gone, all that's what we last and last. The friendship will actually grow stronger. I remember the story of that woman that was always complaining that her husband never stays at home. Every time he comes back, he will take his key and go and hang out with the boys. So she said if she would prepare for him. Say it's not pepper soup, they go and drink there. So she prepared pepper soup. Then she bought his favorite drink and put it in the fridge. So he got back from work, you know, rested a bit, took his bath, was about to go out. She said, no, I have pepper soup for you. The guy was like, that's nice. What of my favorite drink? Because the thing is hot. He brought her favorite drink. He said, that's nice. After he drank the pepper soup and took the drink, he still took his keys to go out. He said, it's not pepper soup, you're going to drink there. He said, no, it's the gist that we gist. That makes me go there. The pepper soup is just to wash the gist down. So I always tell women, and also men, try and be interested in some things that the opposite sex likes. World Cup just passed now, so women don't watch football at all. Except you are trusting God for a man that won't like football. If it's a man that will like football, you better know a bit about football. It will help conversation. So there are some men that have very big TVs at home, but they'll go and watch in black and white where people that can argue with them are. Man, you, I'm Chelsea. Because you cannot argue. Man, you don't know. Chelsea, you think it's dry gin. So he has to go somewhere. Praise God. Amen. So it won't hurt you to try and know a bit about some things that men like. Praise the Lord. So that talking to you will be easy. The reason why a lot of married people don't have good relationship with their spouse is that they are not speaking the same language. The woman is watching Desperate Housewives. She's watching Ugly Betty. She's watching all those things. Don't be surprised that I know my wife watches, so I have to watch. See, what you're saying is, then the man is watching Chelsea, watching Arsenal, so they can't communicate. So you see a man saying that he has a friend down the road. My best friend is my wife. There's no friend I have that is not our friend. She's the best. You see some men that they have secrets that they have told someone first before they tell their wife. Your wife must be the first person. Your husband must be the first person. That should be your closest confidant. You shouldn't have another person that you are confiding in separate from your spouse. There must be friendship. There must be that openness. Praise the Lord. The next one I will talk about is capacity. That's number what? Number five. I have to start rounding up now. Capacity. Before you choose a spouse or before you start to look for a spouse, do you have the capacity? Marriage is not for boys, it's for men. Marriage is not a joke. Many people crash in marriage because they entered too early. They are not ready. Capacity simply talks about maturity. Are you ready for that decision? In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore shall a man do what? Leave his father and his mother. One of the ways you know maturity is when you can survive on your own. When you can leave your mother and your father. Now, it doesn't mean you won't relate with them, but it means you can stand as a person on your own. You can leave your father and your mother. In my years of counseling, one of the things that breaks homes the most is the influence of in-laws. They keep giving different advices. Don't give him your money. Don't show him your money. Build your own house in the village. Don't tell him. Please, you must make sure your perspective about marriage is right. I see people that have all kinds. Look, you must make sure anything they are telling you about marriage must be rooted in the word of God. If they can't show you scripture for it, don't accept it. The Bible says, but this man has experience. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, let all men be liars and let God be what? True. Because when I was going to get married, people were giving me all kinds of counsel. That, you know, in marriage, you don't show everybody everything. You must not be straightforward. In fact, sometimes you beat your wife. In fact, all kinds of counsel. But when I saw in the Bible, I saw that there's nowhere the Bible says you must have trouble in your marriage. There's nowhere the Bible says that. In fact, everywhere God spoke about marriage, he said it's a good thing. From Genesis chapter 2 that we read, he said it's not good for man to be alone. That means it's good when the man is connected. He said two are better than what? One. He said he that finds a good wife, he that finds a wife finds what? A good thing. He said marriage is honorable in all. Everywhere that God talks about marriage, he says it's a good thing. So why do people have the mentality that marriage must be tough? In fact, I was talking to someone those early days. She said, I know that my husband will be sleeping around, but no matter where he goes, he will come back to me at home. She's not married though, but she has prepared her mind for an adulterous husband. You see, your perspective is important because what you expect is what you accept. Another one told me that, I know that when we marry, me and my husband, when we marry, we'll be fighting a lot. But whenever we settle, it will make us closer. I thought I would buy her first aid box for our wedding present. All these things are wrong mentality. My friend, Fela Drotore, was saying, he said when he was going to get married, you know, because Tara was already in business before they married. So one of his aunties told him that, so now that you're getting married, you will close her business, Abby. He said, why? He said, because when a woman starts making money, she will no longer be submissive at home. Where is that in the Bible? Praise the Lord. So you must be careful about the things that you hear. Check whether they are rooted in the word of God. If they are not scripturally supported, please don't accept it. And in case you don't know anyone that has a good marriage, look at me. Please. A good marriage is possible. Praise God. Because sometimes some of us even grew up in homes where there were a lot of challenges. Maybe the father beat the mother or the mother beat the father. Yes, there are some mothers that beat the father. I'm telling you. Where if the woman comes back and she runs, Papa, the father will say, Mommy is back! The father. He too will run. Praise God. So maybe there are people that grew up in those kind of homes and in their mind, they believe marriage must be a war situation. It doesn't have to be so. It doesn't have to be. Don't let anybody shoot down your dreams. You can expect the best in marriage and make sure you follow the right guidelines. You will get there. Expect the best in marriage. So I looked at the word of God and it wasn't saying what those people were saying and I decided I will walk with God. And I've had a great time in my marriage. There must be capacity. That's talking about maturity. A perfect marriage is not between two perfect people. It is between two mature people. The word perfect in the Bible most times refers to maturity. So when I tell people I and my wife don't quarrel or we don't fight, they turn it to mean that, is it that both of you don't offend each other? No. She offends me and I offend her. But it takes two to fight. One person can never fight. Try it. The next time a conductor shouts at you, just tell him sorry. In a gentle voice. He will look very stupid. Before two people can fight, like the couple I talked about that were driving and fighting, before two of them fight, two of them must have decided not to act in love. They must have decided not to have self-restraint. So it doesn't mean my wife never offends me, but two of us can't at the same time plan to have not to hold back. You must prefer one another. That's what the Bible says. There must be capacity. Spiritual maturity, financial capacity, very important. If you don't have a job, you have no business looking for a wife, look for a job. Use the energy to look for a job. Don't look for a wife. Somebody told me, Pastor, is it that now Christian guests are no more, Pastor, Christian guests are no more considerate? Is it that they only want to marry? I told him, go and look for work, yeah? Nobody wants to marry a liability.
And you know, there are some sisters that say, me too. You see, I cannot marry a man that doesn't have a car. Me too, I said, I can't marry a woman that doesn't have a car. Because where did we get this impression that the man must make the money and the woman will spend it? You know, because that's what most men do. I can't marry a man that doesn't have money. I can't marry a man that doesn't live in a duplex. I can't marry a man that doesn't have a car. I say, me too, I can't marry a woman that doesn't have a car. There's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible says that the man must provide a loan for the home. It's not anywhere in the Bible. Praise God. Praise God. I'm serious. Because you see, that mentality has made many women lazy. They start believing that my own, I don't have to do anything with my life. I just have to wait till somebody comes to marry me. Let me look for a man that already has it made. There's no way. The Bible says the woman is the helper. If you don't help the man financially, where else are you helping him? Praise the Lord. And unfortunately, it has made most women produce below their capacity in this part of the world. Because they believe that the man is supposed to make the money, the woman will sit at home and spend it. And most of the scripture they quote most times to refer to it is not even, they are quoting it out of context. They say, he that does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. That's not what that scripture says at all. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, from verse 1 down. They were talking about how to relate to people in the church. They started talking about fathers, talking about mothers, talking about widows. And that scripture was talking about widows. From verse 3 or 4 down to 16. They were saying, if you have a widow in your house, you should take care of the widow. Don't allow the widow to come and be dependent on the church. That scripture has nothing to do with a husband and a wife setting. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 16, I think we can show verse 8 and verse 16 on the screen. The guys should help me show it. As a matter of fact, what the Bible says, if any man or woman, the screen guys, please let me show the scripture. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, then verse 16. All right, look at it. He said, if any what? Believing man or what? Can you see it, women? If any man or what? Woman has what? That's what they're talking about there. They were just reiterating what was said in verse 8. So there's no such thing as a man alone providing. Everybody must work. Except the husband and wife agree that one of them should not work. Apart from that, the two of them must work. I know you won't like me again, but it doesn't matter. But I know the men will support me, Abby. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. There should be capacity. There should be capacity. There should be maturity on both sides. On both sides. Praise the Lord. I will end by saying this. When you're choosing a marriage partner, please be careful of undue influences in choosing a spouse. Make sure you're choosing someone that has the real qualities. I said there are 10 of them. Because of time, there's no way I can mention the 10. Make sure you look for real qualities that can sustain a home. Then be careful of undue influences. There are some men that have noticed that once they meet a girl, the only thing they want to use to woo that girl is money. So they just start spending and spending and spending. Those are undue influences. The Bible said a gift can pervert judgment. So I've seen ladies that when they met the guy, they didn't want to marry the guy, but the guy started giving gifts, started spending money. Say, he's not my type, but he's okay, but he's not my type. Then he gives her gold wristwatch. Say, this gold wristwatch is okay, but it's not my type. Then gold shoe. This gold wristwatch match with the gold shoe, but it's not my type. Then gold bag. Say, these things, they match. It's not my type. Don't use money to toast. The Bible says that if a man shall offer all the values and all the money he has for love, he shall utterly be contemned or despised. Let it be true relationship. On that mistake some people use is that they use begging. Please don't beg anyone to marry you. Marriage is a commitment. The two of you must want to go along. You can't be the one begging the person or the man or the woman now. The journey is too far for you to start begging from now. Praise the Lord. If the man or the woman doesn't appreciate you enough to marry you, let them go. Someone that will appreciate you will come. Hallelujah. Because some people come to ask me, Pastor, I love this girl so much. I've bought her phone, I've bought her credit, I've bought her SIM card. but she doesn't want to marry me. Pastor, what should I do? I say, go home. Go to your house. Leave her. All right? So don't beg. Don't go and call family members. I'm not going to come and beg somebody to marry you. Praise God. Under undue influence, you should never use. Please don't use sex to try and hold a man or a woman. I've seen women do that a lot. That if I sleep with him, he will stay. Don't be tempted to do that. Sex before marriage is sin. So don't let somebody that came to me one time, she wanted to use sex to rope a man. Then she now got pregnant. Now, she was uneducated. And she didn't have a job. She didn't have any unemployed. She was uneducated and unemployed. She started sleeping with this guy to hold him down. She now got pregnant. And she gave back to twins. Uneducated, unemployed. And she thought the man would stay. You know, women believe that, you know. Man, if you just see the face of the story, if you just see the face of the children, he will be touched. Men don't see like that. The man ran. He ran away with another woman, the husband. So that's the worst thing. Now she's now in a worse state than when she started. If you introduce sex at the wrong time, it can affect your judgment. You won't choose right. Praise the Lord. I trust that you have been blessed. I trust that you have been blessed. Let's give the Lord a big, big, big hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.